Welcome to this episode of World Harvest Outreach's Wednesday night Bible study.
All right, so I want to kind of talk about what precipitated me deciding to do this. So we were away this past weekend in North Carolina and then Florida for a wedding celebration. And when I came home, we came home in the evening, and now Associate Justice Barrett was being confirmed and then sworn in. And right after that, I'm not sure exactly who, did you start this? I think you might have started it, Maddie, where you kind of took like a straw poll in our house of who should be president, like who are you going to vote for? And we took a, I'm not going to tell you anything other than it was closer than I thought it would be in my house. It was closer than I thought it would be. Nonetheless, at the end of it, I started listening, like I started asking, like, so what are some of the reasons why you voted the way you did? And I realized that just in my home alone, there was only like one or maybe two issues that not only did they vote on, but that they even knew about. Like almost every vote in my home was based upon one or two issues. And there are so many. And they make up a much, one vote says a lot more than any one issue. Does that make sense? And so I thought it might be good. And so I spent the, and Dawn and I together, kind of spent the next, I don't know, hour or more. Dawn, how long? Yeah, about an hour or so. And I just kind of quickly, and this was totally from just my own, and I'm not that terribly educated, all right? I'm just going to be honest with you. So I just went off of my own understanding of what the platform was on each party, and then kind of talked about some high level, this is what they think about the economy, this is what they think about energy, different things like that. And by the end, like, people in my house were kind of like, I didn't know some of those things. And I have really smart people in my house. I mean, like, Maddie, like, really smart. Look at her. She's got glasses. She looks so much smarter now. We have Megan and Lauren who've graduated bachelor's in nursing, and Lauren getting her, did you guys know that Lauren is going after her nurse practitioner degree right now through Purdue? So cool stuff like that's happening. And I realized that really smart people maybe could use a little bit more understanding of the issues. And specifically, and this is where I really wanted to go, not only in that discussion, but also tonight, like talking about if you decide to vote for blank, you're not just voting based upon one policy that you like. You're actually declaring this set of ideals. And you might not realize it or not, but that vote kind of declares to the nation, this is who I am as far as this is what I want for my country. Now, I know this, that not every person's going to be able to be labeled in one camp or the other. In fact, it would not surprise me by the time we're done with just the several that I'm going to go over tonight, that there might be some of you that go, oh, I thought I was this, but I think about that. So it's possible that you're going to go there. And I actually personally think that's really healthy. I think if you just decide to align yourself with one party or the other, especially if you don't know what is the thought process behind one side or the other, then I really think, honestly, I think your vote is dangerous, if I can be real with you. A casual vote, in my opinion, is a dangerous vote. A casual vote, not understanding what it is you're doing. I think if you have the right to vote, you also have the opportunity at educating yourself. And I personally think you have the responsibility to educate yourself. It's not just good enough every 2 years. Hopefully you do it every 2 years, or at least every 4 years. And for some cases, it's every six. Do you guys know that? Senators are every 6 years. That we should know what's going on in our country and what a particular candidate and or party thinks and believes. So tonight, I was going to go over, first of all, what it actually means to be either conservative or liberal, Democrat or Republican, in general terms. And then I have just about 7 or 8 general overview issues that I'm going to go over. And then we can talk about some other ones if you want to. And my hope is tonight to not only highlight where both sides come out on specific issues, but also then where the Lord is on those issues, because he's in there. I think if you guys remember this in what month was the kingdom? Was it June or July? Whatever month it was sometime during the summer. I realized, and the Lord showed me that in every single person, that comes your way in every single incident, situation, circumstance, issue that arises, the king and his kingdom is in it. I'm convinced of it. There is no inherently evil thing happening on the planet. Now, people could take something that was pure and holy and turn it into something else, but there is a thin, like, if you ask me, like the narrow way and the gate, you know, the small gate, the narrow way, inside of every issue is the kingdom. And my heart is to find it. And so I've discovered that just in going over these things tonight, as I was going over them in preparation for tonight, I saw the Lord's heart all over it. Like, this nation really does have an opportunity to really create an incredible amount of freedom for people to experience the Lord. I am convinced of it. And I've been all around the world. I've been in every continent, not in every nation. It'd be a great thing to get in every nation before I die. But I've been all around the world, and I have not found a nation where the opportunity is more open and great to experience the goodness of God than in America. It's an incredible country to live in. I am so thankful to live here. We should all be so thankful to live here. And that should be why we're passionate, if we are, about what we and who we vote for. So tonight we're going to go over some of those things. So I kind of entitled this, "What Does My Vote Mean?" How many people already voted, by the way? One person. Okay, so we'll find out what you voted for by the end based upon what we talked about. But everybody else, how many people plan on voting between now and Tuesday? All right, there we go. So we got some good people in the room. Hopefully you're wet cement a little bit. You never want to be fully dried, fully cured cement, because if you ask me, a child of God is always learning, always growing, always evolving, because the Lord is always constantly revealing himself in new ways to us. That doesn't mean we're growing from, there's still ways, the ancient paths and the ancient ways that God talks about in the Bible, those are still true and right. But the way they're applied and the way they manifest themselves consistently and continually evolves. And that's the beauty I find, is we can find the kingdom in everything. And it's exciting to do so. So how I want to start tonight, and I'm going to wax American for a little bit, okay? Because I love America. And I'm not ashamed to say I love America. I don't think it's anti-Christian to love the nation you live in. I just want to say that up front. I think it's great. In fact, I would actually be a little concerned about you if you lived in a nation you did not like. Because somewhere along the line, there's a little bit of hypocrisy going on. Like, why are you here? Why don't you go live the life you want to live in the place that you think will most encourage it? So I live in this country, first of all, because I was born here, hallelujah. But second of all, because I've traveled, and this is awesome. I really do believe that. So what I want to start with is, there are deep and meaningful goals every citizen, regardless of party, wants. I believe this. It does not matter if you're Republican, Democrat, what else is there? Libertarian, give me another one. Independent. There are certain goals that every, I believe, American wants. How about the F word? Thank you. I just realized as soon as that came out of my mouth, that could have meant something else. Okay.
Friendship.
Yes, friendship. Food. All right. I would say it does not matter what party you're affiliated with. This is a desire and a high-level goal. It's one of the, in my opinion, it probably epitomizes what it means to be American. We believe in freedom, okay? Something else I would say every single American believes in is opportunity. I've heard it also say, because it's in our declaration, it's also Bill of Rights and things like that, is the word prosperity. That is not a bad word. That is a good word. I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. In other words, Jesus is saying, I really do want you to prosper. I don't want you to be poor. I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to grovel in this life. If you live a life sourced in me, you will shine. And for you to shine means you take advantage of opportunities, and those opportunities bless you and others. Right? Yeah, I believe opportunity is a big one. I also think everybody believes that we are entitled to or should have health. Okay? I believe that's very good. Okay, if you don't even want to think about that for yourself, think about it for your children. How many people in here want their children healthy? Yeah, absolutely. So I want my children healthy, and so I want to make sure that the ability to get medical care and have the best vitamins and foods and highest nutrients of all that is available. It's not just medical care. If you think just in terms of health care, you're missing out on a much bigger portion of health, which is really good food supplies. Right? Ability to get vitamins and minerals and things like that at a very low cost so that you can provide your family with everything that it takes to be healthy. Another one here. I don't think any person would argue that this is a high-level goal of every American, is that we would experience a life of peace and security. We do not want to live in fear. I don't believe that's any American's goal, that we should have a constant, like, what's going to happen next? Or who's going to come in? Or whatever. I don't think fear is at all part of the American vision, the American global goal. I believe it's to have peace and to have security. And I believe, for the most part, our nation has experienced that. There's very few times in our history, and it was only small skirmishes where this nation's even been attacked, if you think about it. Now, it's not a very long history that this nation has. Let me guess, 244 years? Is that how long we've been a nation? 1776 to 2020, am I right? Is my math right? I think I'm right. 244 years, guys, that's young. We're one of the younger countries in the world, especially if you compare ourselves to Asia, Europe, that kind of thing. But still, in 244 years, I mean, other than Pearl Harbor, when can we say our nation has experienced war on its own soil, other than the war it created on its own? Well, the Revolutionary War, but technically that was before, huh? War of 1812, that's true. But really, in our history, very little. So thankful that peace and security has been something of our legacy. And finally, and I will use that word because it's the last word, we believe in legacy. We believe that we should have a nation that we can pass on to our children. And not just a nation, but a good nation, a prosperous nation, a healthy nation. There's not a person in this country that does not want to give their children a better country than they had. Not a one. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, libertarian, or anything else. You want to give your children the best nation possible. Just like you want to give them health, you want to give them peace and security. And that's actually a really great way to think about the kind of nation you want, is to think about the kind of nation you want to give your children, the environment you want to leave for your children. And if we think of that in terms of our vote, that might be a really good way to determine, oh, if I were to vote today and my vote determines what the country will look like for the next 50 years, would you want your children to live in that nation? That's how you should vote. Make sense? Okay, so I believe that it does not matter what party you're affiliated with. I believe we could all say yes, 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 and yes. How many people are on board? And there might be a few other general ones. You might want to shout them out. Are there any others that you feel like we could all agree upon that every American, yes. You have to keep it pretty general or we can dive too deep. Anything else on the general, we all agree upon it, vision of America? Pretty good with that? Okay, so the vision of America can be shared by all Americans, but what can differ immensely is how we achieve it. And that's why we have what we have today. And I actually think the divisive nature of our politics right now is because there is such stark contrasts in how we achieve that. And I want to give you, and I'm going to stay high level and general in the beginning, and then we're going to slowly drill down, okay? So I'm going to stay high level for a moment. And the next part I want to do, I want to give you the two main political perspectives of the nation. And I really don't know why we don't talk about this more in the church. I think we should. I don't think it's political to describe the political landscape of the nation you're living in. I actually think it's really wise to understand the culture. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just We also have to, hopefully, and we spend most of our time talking about the culture of the kingdom of God and what that looks like and the king and what he's doing in our lives and what he is doing to restore us unto the nature and character of the Father. But in reality, we're all put in then different places and times. Acts actually says that he sets the exact time and the exact location for where we live and the times and seasons in which we live. Like, this was designed by God for each one of you to live in this country in 2020. And so I think it's incumbent upon us, if we live in this time and we live in this nation, we should at least be educated and know what's going on, what's available. And then what happens is then we can lock on and find the kingdom, find the heart of God in each one of those and go after that and expose it for the whole world to see. Not hide from it and just wait for Jesus to return, which, by the way, sure seems to be delaying. Maybe it's, well, I have some opinions on that, but I'm going to stay focused. Okay, so two main political perspectives, liberal. And it's also been referred to as the left. And I should write this in red. That's going to be really conservative, who believe in conservation. Isn't that interesting? The left probably more known for conservation, but the right is actually called conservative. Just a thought. Okay, so the reason why they're called left, I don't know if, again, I might be overly simplifying things for you, but for some this might be good. They're thinking about the whole gamut of what we would call the political spectrum. The political spectrum, obviously, left is the liberal side, right, conservative side. That's good enough. Okay, so that's why they give it left and right. And so this is the political spectrum. Liberals, they say, are more left. Conservatives are more right. And you guys remember when we talked about this last year, how oftentimes in marriage or in relationships in general, if you see someone beginning to kind of trend toward an extreme, like, and they're reacting to a circumstance or something like that, and we see them like starting to go out on the extreme, our response is to do what? Go the other way. We think if we go the other way, then we're going to definitely pull them our direction. How's that work? No, it doesn't. In fact, when they experience us going the other direction of the direction they're going, they think, uh-oh, they're going the wrong way. And so, and that's exactly what's happening. There's where the increase of divisiveness is actually taking place. We think we have, and I'm watching this in politics in general, is this ongoing push toward the edges. And there is a huge group of people right here that are feeling disillusioned. And both political parties will tell you that's who they're after. They're both after this group of people. This group of people determines the election every time. These people that live here, that dwell here, that are full on staunch whichever way, already got them, no big deal. And that's why as you get closer and closer and closer to the election, you watch the, the ads and what's being said. You watch both candidates moving toward the center in their language. In the primaries and in the finding out who's gonna be the candidate, they're extremely like, sharp and divisive and pointing out differences, and they tend to be much more out here. But as they get closer and closer to the election, just watch the ads. Just for the next couple of days between now and Tuesday, you're going to be hearing things like, in fact, I just heard it yesterday, one of Biden's ads was, this is not a Democratic idea, this is an American idea. So much so that he was actually moving away from his own party's ideals and saying you cannot be more center than saying this is an American idea. You're going to watch this happen because they're going after this group of people. Nonetheless, two main political perspectives. And again, like we talked about, there is libertarian. What else did we say? Independent. And independent, I think, is just a really nice term for I can believe whatever I want in both parties. And there are a lot of people. In fact, I think one or two of my children are actually registered independent, which is great. Okay, so the liberal perspective. in general, okay? Really high level in general, okay? This is not drilling down yet on specifics. In general, the liberal perspective looks to the government and institutions to achieve this. In general, this left side, this liberal perspective of what politics and how the nation should achieve these goals says that the government is the most likely organization to achieve these goals for the American people. Okay? Obviously, the conservative does not look that way. Okay? The conservative says it's the individual's responsibility. It's the individual citizen. It's the individual person. And then that person, what he or she creates in family, in business, in enterprise, their main responsibility. We as conservatives look to the people to achieve this. And the government's job is actually to make sure that our freedom is kept so that we can do these things. You with me so far? Okay, so in general, if on Tuesday you just decide I am voting straight Republican, you are saying to the country, I am responsible for this nation's freedom, opportunity, health, peace and security, and legacy. And the rest of the nation thanks you very much. And then the nation is going to look to you. And I think that's how we have to think about it. We have to think of our vote that way. If my vote declares that I'm responsible for these things, then live like it. That's all I ask. And I think that's what the American people would ask. If you are voting straight blue, straight liberal, then what you are saying is that I am looking to the government to take care of my freedom, to ensure it, to make sure that there's plenty of opportunity and eventually prosperity for every human being, making sure that the health is provided for, the peace and security, and a nation that I can pass on to my children. I'm going to make sure that the right people are elected to make sure that that takes place. That is how, in general, again, very general, but that is how the two different political perspectives think, act, and look. Any thoughts or questions so far? We good? All right. So now, again, I'm going to go over that again because then I want you to think about any issue that's important to you. Because like I said, in my little family's vote, there were one or two specific issues that really stood out to them as important. And if you can think, it does not matter the issue. If you can remember that the conservative looks for the individual to take responsibility for these things, whatever the issue is, or my vote declares that I expect government or the institutions the government creates to take care of that situation, okay? There are ramifications to both decisions. There are people, and I've seen this so many times, who swear they are Republican, who swear they are, oh yeah, by the way, Democrat, Republican. I forgot to write that down, but hopefully you guys already kind of knew that. So another word for liberal is Democrat. Another word for conservative is Republican. What was I saying? Oh, the ramifications of your vote. So I've heard it said that I am voting Republican because I believe that the individual is responsible, but then the life that they live doesn't necessarily align with that. Like they're still looking for other people to take care of so many of the things that they declare with their life that they are. And then over here on this side, I see a lot of people who believe in democracy and believe in the liberal viewpoint of that we must have a larger government in order to take care of all these incredible ills, but then they still live in such a way where they're personally responsible for things. Like it's their job to make sure people are taken care of and things like that. And so I'm like, I don't think you're as liberal as you think you are, you know? And I actually have found that most people aren't nearly as extreme as they think they are. It's usually because of one or two issues that they sound extreme. But when you actually look at these things as black and white issues, you realize, well, wait, I kind of think that way. Even though you might not tell all your friends who are Republican that you think a little liberal, that would be awful, wouldn't it? And that's something I would like to say at the outset before I go too far into any of the specific issues. I would really caution anyone in this room to identify themselves as one or the other. Especially if, as children of God, I don't believe it should be our identity to be liberal or conservative. Democrat or Republican. I actually think that that is a system of this world that we have kind of bought into. People can label you certain things, but you don't have to think that way. I actually don't even think, like, if you don't think of yourself as liberal or conservative, and you think of yourself then as a child of God, ruled by the heart of God, spirit of God, you're not even in the center. Like, that's not your place either. And remember how we were talking about heaven way back, and I kind of turned the board like this. I drew heaven up here, but then we turned the board like this, where heaven is like the center of it all, and then it slowly radiates out the thoughts, feelings, and perspectives of God. That's where I feel like the children of God are meant to be. Through prayer, through time spent with the Lord, we arise up out of a worldly system, and we get the heart of God, which is, and then we distill the heavenly perspective into the earth, which is the kingdom of God. That's the right perspective. Nonetheless, we have to realize the culture in which we are distilling. Okay, we're still bringing this pure water, this abundant life into an environment. I think we need to know our environment. Okay? All right. Any thoughts or questions before I keep going? Just making sure. I need a drink. Sorry. What? They're a lot louder if it's on Facebook. Oh, yeah, man. You have typewriter boldness. Did you want to give a little perspective on libertarian? Like, was it any different, or is it more central, or?
No, actually, so you kind of describe the independent.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We're supposed to get it on there.
So so I would consider myself more independent. And it's because, weirdly enough, I do have views that, just because of the labels here, you would consider, oh, these are conservative views, mm-hmm. right? And then I have some other views that you were like, when I sit down and I talk about them, I'm like, oh, I'm actually kind of liberal if I look myself in the mirror and say, you know, oh, how should this operate? Maybe we should, you know. So an independent actually would not consider themselves a Republican or Democrat based on the actual party, but will make a decision based on the actual policy or the actual, you know, subject, right? Now, with libertarian is actually even more removed, where it says, I think we should have even less government intervention in all of this stuff. So the interesting thing about libertarians is they could actually be on this side of some conservative issues, and then on that side of liberal issues, because they're like, well, there should be no government intervention. It should just be whatever you decide as an individual is, and some people actually call it individualism, which is just it's another political view. So if you're looking at that view, is they're trying to get government out of every single thing. So one comment that you may, I think it's interesting to me that I think sometimes the kingdom presents itself as pretty liberal in some ways, and sometimes the government, the kingdom presents itself as extremely conservative. So for me to actually say I'm conservative or liberal actually cuts off a whole side of the kingdom to me that then I have to say, well, it can't operate in that way. There's no way in a cop art. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think I stick more to the independent side because of kind of that.
Mm-hmm. Just hold on to that if anybody else has a thought or question. Okay. All right. So again, one more time. The liberal perspective, from an overall very general point of view, looks to government and the institutions it creates to achieve this vision for the American people. Where the conservative outlook expects the individual, and specifically the individual's pursuits. Okay? Like, the individual, if the government is not going to do it, then the individual has to do something. You can't just wake up and these things just happen. Does anybody notice that? Like, there's very specific things that have to happen in the country for every human being in the country to experience this. So far, so good? So it's not just the conservative outlook is that people are responsible. No, people and what they do. what they're actually saying they're responsible for, and then their corresponding actions create this. Good? All right, here we go. The first one, and it's probably because it's the most important one, is economy. I'm starting with money, because every American, I don't care if you're liberal, conservative, or somewhere in between, your money's important to you, okay? So I'm going to overall give you a liberal and conservative perspective of each one of these. And then, again, don't forget, what does my vote mean? If I vote Republican on Tuesday, I am saying this about the economy. If I vote Democrat on Tuesday, I'm saying this about the economy. So here it is. And I wrote this, and I'm sorry it's a little wordy, but I need to get this out. And if you want to, I can repeat things, or you can write things, or this is all being recorded. Is this being recorded? Thank you. There's a voice with no face. Okay. The liberal view of American economy is an economic system where there is direct government oversight and regulation. An economic system where there is direct government oversight and regulation. Because the individual and business, because business is started and run by individuals, is prone to greed and corruption, he or she requires direct oversight of the government. As business grows, it becomes increasingly, the business, becomes increasingly self-protected and self-motivated. Government, because government looks as its main responsibility is to take care of this, government then has the interest of all the people in mind and must ensure that businesses provide equal financial opportunity for all. I'm going to read that again because I think it's important to read that again, okay? A liberal view of the economy in America is a system where direct government oversight is and regulation is desired. There's still enterprise, okay? This is really important. A Democrat still believes in private enterprise. A Democrat still believes that anyone in this room can decide to start their own business or to work for someone else in their business. They believe in the free market economy, but they believe that it easily trends corrupt. It easily trends selfish. It easily trends toward those who are smarter and more competent. And then those who are not as smart and not as competent lose. And so the government's job is to make sure that nobody loses financially. And so we're going to oversee government. We're going to oversee business. We're going to regulate every part of the economy so that no one is left behind. Sound familiar? Have you heard this kind of language before? Okay. And guys, people are greedy. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen it yourself? Yeah, I've seen it myself. And I could use a little oversight sometimes. But here's the thing. Holy Spirit's my oversight. And, you know, all right, I got to back up. I'm going to back up a little bit. Because I want to go back to something I preached a couple weeks ago about when the Israelites asked Samuel for a king. You guys remember that? Okay. So Samuel's really disappointed because Samuel is being the prophet. And when they have troubles, they go to the prophet and the prophet goes to God. God gives the prophet an answer. And then the prophet brings the word of the Lord back to the people. Now, the problem was Samuel didn't apply his lifestyle to his children. And so now as Samuel's growing in age, the kids, they ain't going to be doing Samuel's lifestyle. And so the people look and they see that Samuel isn't running a good household, which is a huge lesson for us. Back to legacy. Please do a good job with your children because someone's looking to your children one day to hopefully help provide this. Okay, that being said, as a result of that, the people say, we need a king. We need someone to take care of us. We need someone that leads an army out in front of us because we're fearful, because we don't have peace and security as we look at your children. We're concerned that we're not going to have the freedom and the opportunity and prosperity. So give us a king. And it specifically says in Samuel, like all the other nations. Remember that? And right there, Samuel gets disappointed and despondent and goes to God, and God consoles him and says, hey, man, relax. Take it easy. This is not a reflection on you. Though it is, because if he would have raised good kids, we might have been all right. But it's actually, God actually says, no, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And in that moment, Israel chose an elected king to rule instead of the Lord. And really, and this is an overall problem I see in our nation, is that we forget that we can actually be ruled well by someone that's already been elected. The sovereign of all sovereigns, the king of the universe, if you allow him, he will help you rule your life well. And greed in this particular instance would never be an issue. If you look at every one of these issues, you can see how either government or the individual has taken the place of holy God. And that's why politics is not the answer to solving or providing this ultimately. What we're talking about tonight are two political ways, outlooks, perspectives to achieve this goal. We believe, or at least I hope we believe, that actually living in and by God the Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit, we live in these things independent of the culture around us. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We can have these things in Uganda. We can have these in communist China. Anywhere we want, we can have these things. Or we can say, give us a king, because we think this is the best king to give us these things. And that's where I find that many people get so caught up in the political fervor of their country, because they believe the king, whichever king that they're going to elect, is going to be the best person to provide this. What I see too often is we ask for the king to replace God. So my encouragement to you, as we talk about these things, please don't let them supersede the king of all the universe, who is as personal, as loving as your next breath. Okay. So economy liberal, we've done that. Economy conservative is a free market economy and free market system. Don't forget, both believe in a free market system. A free market system where private citizens engage one another in economy is the goal. Through private enterprise, the people are free to build, serve, and sell in a competitive environment, creating higher quality products and services, more jobs, and a higher standard of living for those who are diligent. Government regulation is spurned as it limits a business's ability to creatively expand and pursue its goals. So, from a conservative perspective, the free market economy creates its own set of standards that actually limits, it's supposed to, in its purest form, limits greed from taking place. So in other words, if a business is driven by greed, the private sector of society recognizes that that business is governed by greed and will not support that business, and will come over here and support a business that's more altruistic, more generous, cares for its workers, doesn't exorbitantly charge for its products, keep all of its profits for itself, and does bad things. Conservatives believe that free market governs itself.
You could say it maybe even a little more simply, like if we become greedy.
This may be a little bit too simplistic, but if I, as a business owner, get too greedy and say I want too much money for a service, I just won't sell anything, because I can have a competitor come and say, I will do the same thing at a lower cost, and I'll go out of business.
Right.
So, yep. Just a simple.
Probably simpler than I said it. Thank you. I need simplicity. So a liberal perspective is the private free market economy cannot govern itself, and some people will get left behind. And the liberal perspective is that a conservative form of economic development leaves people and actually makes people poor and separates and creates this huge gulf where there's a few rich, a small middle class, and a shrinking middle class, and an expanding lower class, and eventually poor, okay? And so the government wants to come in and kind of level the playing field. And so, and we'll get into this with taxes. Well, if we tax these people more, it'll bring more money here. It'll bring this level down and bring this level up. That's a liberal perspective. All right. So one more time. I read liberal twice. I want to read this twice. A conservative view of economy is a free market system where private citizens engage one another in economy. And that is the goal. Private enterprise causes people to be free to build, serve, and sell in a competitive environment, creating higher quality products and services, more jobs, and a higher standard of living. Government regulation is spurned as it limits an ability, business's ability to creatively expand and pursue its goals. Thoughts, questions on that beyond what Jake said? Okay, next one. No other thoughts? I'm gonna go to energy, okay? I'll be honest with you, I cherry picked. I decided which subjects we were gonna talk about, but they'll get a little juicier as we go on. So I'm kind of being, even though the economy is pretty juicy, but I wanna go to energy. Energy is a big deal. I'm just gonna go through this just so you understand what your vote means. Can I ask a question? Sure. Yeah, it's pretty hard not to separate them. So we're gonna cover environment. You're gonna hear it in the descriptions, okay? The liberal perspective of energy, oil, gas, and coal, which are fossil fuels, are depleting resources. And the results of refining them and bringing them to market and then the market using them damages the environment, okay? And if you do actually look at the whole process from bringing it up and out of the ground, refining it, and then the public using it, there are harmful side effects to each one of those processes. They are, and it's true. Alternative forms of energy, again, liberal perspective, must be the nation's priority. And we must intentionally wean ourselves off of fossil fuel dependence. The government exists. This is really important. This is a really big important part of the liberal philosophy about energy. Government exists to subsidize. You know what the word subsidized means, right? Which means they don't fully fund, but they add to private sector funds. So the government comes alongside private companies and says, if you devote yourselves to working with, developing, exploring new forms of energy other than fossil fuel, we'll come alongside of you and we'll give you X amount of dollars that you might continue your research and expand it, okay? That's what subsidize means. Government exists to subsidize alternative energy research and then to regulate fossil fuel industries. You got me so far? All right. So the conservative view of energy is oil, gas, and coal are good sources of energy. And they're in abundance in the U.S. And not only are they good sources of energy, not only are they abundant in the U.S., but they're also a staple of our economy. Since just about day one of our country, oil, gas, and coal have not only provided the ability for us to become industrial, but also provided all the jobs that are associated with bringing that to market from the ground to market and then burning it. It's all part of our economy. And there will be a huge impact if we switched, if we moved. Increased domestic production creates more jobs and less dependence on foreign sources. This is a huge part of the conservative understanding about energy. If we can mine, bring up from the ground our own sources, and they are plentiful in our country, then we'll have less dependence, which means prices will go which way? Down, because it's a lot cheaper to bring these things up from the ground of our own country than to have them shipped over from another country, okay? So, and that's something else that we didn't even talk about here, but conservatives really believe in buying, in promoting American business, resources, all of that. It's very much that way. Increased domestic production creates more jobs and less dependence on foreign sources. Wind and solar energy are viable alternatives. There's also a belief system out there that conservatives don't like alternative forms of energy. That's not true. They just don't want that to be the only. They want us to be free. A conservative's dream would be all of these sources of energy are available, and you get to choose which one works best for you. Okay? Wind and solar energy are viable alternatives, but should be explored in addition to, not instead of, oil, gas, and coal. Energy can and should be owned and operated privately and without heavy government regulation. That's what your vote means if you vote conservative. If you vote Republican, you are saying to the country those things. You are saying to the country about energy that we, if you vote liberal, if you vote Democrat, you're believing that wind and solar are, and not even nuclear, because water is often providing what is where nuclear comes from, nuclear energy and power. The liberal mindset is they would love nuclear power to go away altogether, where conservatives are still big believers in nuclear power. So that's the thought processes behind each one of the sides of energy. Any thoughts, questions? Hold on, please get on the microphone.
You made a good point that fossil fuels have side effects environmentally. Would you agree that there are environmental side effects from some of the renewable energy sources that we have today as well?
Yes. Scientifically speaking, though, they have an easier path to resolution, scientifically speaking, than oil, gas, and coal. There's an easier way to modify, to work the production of those sources of energy that by the time that they're actually used by the private sector, there's not as much science and not as much actual investment financially to create it to be a safer, environmentally friendly as the fossil fuels are. But I will tell you this, it will be generations until those types of energy sources are of the same economic, like the ability to pay for it, as fossil fuels. The good thing about us having hundreds and hundreds of years of working with fossil fuels is that we're getting pretty good at using it, and we know the economic benefits of it. But wind and solar, it will take generations before those become economically comparative. Make sense? Okay, moving on from energy. Healthcare, that's a big one. I would say that this is probably in the top three in 20, probably from the early 2000s on. This is one of the most, I never heard this as a high school college student. Hardly ever did I ever hear healthcare as one of like the main, but man, in the last 15, 20 years, it is a top priority. Healthcare, the liberal perspective of healthcare. This should make some people happy. Free or low-cost healthcare controlled by the government is best for the people. That's the liberal perspective of healthcare. Free or low-cost healthcare controlled by the government is best for the people. It ensures all people have access to the basic right of medical care. A liberal democratic philosophy of healthcare is a basic or fundamental human right. Every single human being, regardless of their ability to pay, should have full access to any and all medical care they require. You with me? And that's really important, regardless of their ability to pay. You have a question?
Yeah.
I didn't even get to the conservative. You want to talk about the liberal?
I guess.
Go ahead. Ask the question.
I guess my question there is, what does free mean?
We're going to get to taxes.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I promise. Because don't forget, if government's responsible for doing this, would a small government be responsible to make all this happen, or a big government? A big government. Would a small person be responsible for bringing all this, or a big person? It's really important. Either, whichever one's responsible for bringing this, better grow. So if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican, but you're not about growing yourself, about improving, restoring. That's why the beauty of being a child of God, and if you truly believe that you are a conservative, which many Christians would say that they are, then please be about the full manifestation of your original identity as a son or daughter of God, because that's your best opportunity at helping bring that. But if you're a Christian who's just waiting for Jesus to come, but you're also a conservative, you're a conundrum. Because you're really a liberal Christian. Because you want big government to come down and rescue you. Hello? That's why, I don't know. Anyway, okay, healthcare. Conservative perspective of healthcare is a business. Healthcare is a business. Conservatives believe that healthcare is a business. And it should exist in a competitive environment, because of a competitive environment produces high quality. And I'll be honest with you. High quality in healthcare, probably not a bad thing. Okay? So a conservative perspective of healthcare is that it's a business and it should exist in a competitive environment where quality is paramount. The free market system applied to healthcare addresses those who cannot afford medical care. Okay? So this is important. So for a liberal, honestly, almost all of these perspectives come down to money. Every single one of them. As I go down through here, there's only a few that don't kind of hinge on the economic perspective that I started with. Okay? So if we go back to healthcare, a big issue for liberals is the reason why they want government to be involved is that poor people cannot get high quality healthcare. And so as a result, drugs are so expensive, or going to the doctor or getting surgery is so expensive that they just don't go. And that's why oftentimes, if you want to see where the sickest people are, it's usually in the lowest socioeconomic regions or peoples. So liberals are saying that's not fair. Healthcare is a fundamental basic right. And so we're going to help make sure that healthcare is affordable and available to all. Conservatives say, okay, if you want to do that, so be it. But here's the problem. Now, anyone and everyone, if you're going to pay a doctor pretty much how you pay a name it, which is where a lot of socialized medicine is in other parts of the world, and people will travel from all the parts of the world to where medical care is still privatized, because there is actually such a thing as a good doctor and a bad doctor. Where in socialized medicine, and I've talked to hundreds of international people who will tell you, I only get basic medical care from our doctors. I will not go for the really important stuff unless it's an emergency, because they know. So that's the downside. And conservatives will see that and say a free market is the best way to get high quality. And not just healthcare, but in anything. If there's no competition for a business, then there's no incentive to provide a high quality product. You can just give people whatever and they have to buy it because you're the only one. You with me so far? So that's kind of like that's a paramount thing that goes throughout, but healthcare specifically is a huge issue. I didn't probably cover everything here. So like more specifically in this particular election, as a result also of 3 Supreme Court seats being filled in the last 4 years, one of the major concerns among liberals right now is that the Health Care Act that was passed under President Obama could be in jeopardy. Because right now there is a lawsuit claiming the veracity of Obamacare. That's what it's called, Obamacare. And it's actually getting ready to be presented to the Supreme Court. And it's entirely possible that the way the Supreme Court decides could determine whether or not Obamacare continues, or if it's actually struck down is unconstitutional. Really quick civics lesson. Supreme Court's job is to 100% make sure that the laws that Congress passes align with the Constitution. That's the main job of the Supreme Court. Okay? Any other job, it is stepping outside of its balance of powers. Its job is to make sure that the Congress does its job according to the Constitution. Okay? And so what they're doing is they're going to hold the health care plans passed by President Obama and the Congress during that time, and they're going to hold it up against the Constitution. And I don't, forgive me for not knowing the specifics of the lawsuit, but somewhere in there, someone is claiming that specific parts of Obamacare violate the Constitution. And the biggest one about this, this is why I brought this up, is the idea of pre-existing conditions. So many people prior to Obamacare had serious health issues. And then when they go and try to get insurance, insurance would say, oh yeah, we'll take you, but here is your monthly premium, which is 3 and 4 times higher than what a healthy person would pay. Or they would just hear, sorry, we won't cover you. I have an insurance, several insurance people in the room, and they could probably give you much more clarity about that. And the Obamacare eradicated pre-existing conditions, that an insurance company could not hold any particular issue you have health-wise against you. And you could walk in and you can have them all and they'd still have to provide you healthcare. Insurance for healthcare. Make sense? So there's a lot of people who are very concerned right now because they have, name the situation, diabetes, a heart condition, whatever it is, they're concerned if Obamacare goes away, we're going to go back to either paying huge high prices for insurance or not being able to get insurance at all, which means everything you do at the doctor is paid out of your pocket. Knowing what prices are right now, my wife just had an appendectomy. Wow. That is nuts. Okay, any thoughts on the healthcare anymore? Yeah, give him a microphone.
It's just a real quick comment about pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize, but pregnancy is considered a pre-existing yep. condition too.
Absolutely.
And there's a difference between insurance when it comes to maternity and not maternity. So that is a big deal to a lot of people
it
as
is.
Well.
It is.
Do you feel that, so you said from the liberal perspective that people believe that healthcare should be free.
Or at least low cost.
Or low cost. Do you believe, and I'm not asking if you believe this, but a big question for me, and I think something that I think a lot of us agree that it should be affordable. But I think that there's a question in my mind about whether that's a God-given right or whether that's a constitutionally given right. And I would be curious to know what anybody thinks about mm-hmm. that, whether or not being able to access healthcare for free or very affordably is a God-given right or a constitutional right, because that takes you two very, very different directions
yeah.
that most people probably yeah. have never considered.
So let's go a completely different route and let's talk about the heavenly perspective of healthcare. I believe, okay, this is what I think God would say if I ask God, what's your position on healthcare? Which I've never actually asked him before. But if I were to ask him, this is my guess of what he would say. Based on what you just said, I believe the God-given right you have is to eat well and to sleep enough and to not put yourself in overly stressful environments on a consistent basis that wreak havoc on your insides. There's some of the God-given right side of taking care of yourself. Okay, again, this is totally my perspective from the Lord, okay? So Mark's opinion, even I'm telling you that, God, this is my opinion. I'm wondering, I'm hoping we're somewhat on the same page. And then if you don't do that, if you decide that you're going to get caught up in the, I will make a lot of money, or I will stress, or I will eat chocolate cake 4 times a day or a week or whatever it is, then you got to pay for your healthcare. That would be my understanding of heaven. Like, you reap what you sow. I think there is the overall economy of the kingdom. You reap what you sow. Lauren, do you want to say something? Yeah, bring it. I don't mind my daughter contradicting me.
I believe in like preventative care 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. I see it all the time. Most stuff is just because people ate terribly their whole lives. At least that's what, not everybody. But there's also that thing where love your neighbor as the, like, it, probably don't have the scripture right, but I feel like both of these are kind of side by side.
Right.
At some point, you'd also need to love your neighbor as the Father has loved us. So we still should humble ourselves and do that as well. I feel like.
So what part, where do we humble ourselves? Maybe be more practical. How do we humble ourselves in that?
Like, I feel like it can be sometimes a little prideful to be like, well, you didn't take care of yourself, so I'm not going to help you. No, I'm not saying you're saying that, but I'm coming from yeah. maybe a little bit of the middle ground here
yeah.
where it's like, maybe it shouldn't be so freaking expensive either, because mm-hmm. some people weren't educated.
So what I think you're saying is, and I agree with this, is that I think greed has spread itself out throughout the economy of America, and I would say the world. But we're staying to this country right now. And greed has hit insurance companies, healthcare, the medical business side of the United States. And as a result, I think it's stupid expensive to get things done that need to get done. Do we have high quality healthcare here? Yes. Is it too expensive? Yes. So I agree with you. So the conservative side of this actually believes that as a result of the prosperity of the free market system, those who cannot pay are provided those services either free of charge, or Reese, who's super generous, comes in and says, I'm taking care of that. Yeah. That's the free market way of solving the healthcare, I can't pay for it issue. The problem is, and that's why liberals rise up, is there aren't enough people doing that. Everybody's all about just making their buck and then buying their boat in the Caribbean. Where I really need to take care of these people who genuinely are struggling.
I think both of those comments make it just speak to that middle right. perspective in that
yep.
issue.
Okay, you got a microphone?
Yeah, one just super quick thing. One of the reasons that healthcare is so expensive is the insurances that doctors have to have if they make a mistake. And the lawsuits that the financial responsibility that comes with something like a botched surgery, right, heaven forbid somebody dies,
yep.
there's a really high risk thing there. And that's one of the reasons that those costs stay yep. high. So sometimes there's a tangential.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole nother thing about lawsuits, like frivolous lawsuits and all those kinds of things that sent insurance prices skyrocketing, because all of a sudden people are winning $1 million lawsuits because McDonald's made their coffee too hot. Yeah, the ripples. Absolutely. Like, you can keep walking this thing back and finding the root causes of these things. And all of it really goes back to us not walking in our original identity as children of God.
Question. With the whole, your perspective on what God says as far as eating correctly and all that stuff and pay for your own health care. What about the people that are born with issues that are pre-existing conditions? Uh-huh. How do we take care of those?
Yeah. No, I think that's when we come in and we decide that we're going to be part of this generous people, this people that not only am I going to be a doctor who just realizes you're in a really bad place and I'm going to help you. You're not getting a bill today. We do this a lot in business. How many people in this room have provided their skill, their job at either a discounted or free rate? That's the free market economy. That's the conservative. That's what a conservative believes is the way to eradicate the greed and to make sure that people that have pre-existing conditions don't get left behind. That's the goal.
I think the scriptures actually cover both of those. Because if you look in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, is not your body a temple? Right? So it's telling you from your individual standpoint, you should be treating it as such.
Right.
Then also, it tells us, you know, were you not hungry and I fed you? Were you not, you know, so... It's not letting us off the hook from either side, from a scriptural standpoint.
Yeah.
Either side of that.
It's not either or.
Yeah.
It's both.
The question I have is, which the conservative and liberal say about people that are in this country illegally?
Immigration is my next one.
Sold.
Thank you. Ready? Let's keep moving. You want to talk about healthcare? Okay, back to healthcare quick. Now, I just want to say this before anybody else says another thing. We are not running off into the political discourse of which one's right or wrong. I will stop you because that's not the goal of tonight. Just making sure. Go.
So in today's climate of healthcare, one of the biggest issues is abortion. And they wrap that in as
coming up.
A right to healthcare.
Right on.
So I'll just throw that out there.
And yep. It's coming up.
Swing at that.
I promise you. We're going to swing at this thing. This pinata is going to get hit.
Do you want to explain what free means when you're talking about health care?
I'm getting the taxes right after immigration. This is awesome. Okay, can I keep going? Immigration, the liberal perspective of immigration. Are you ready? The liberal believes in and supports legal immigration. I want to get that out from the beginning. Liberals believe in and support legal immigration. They do not believe that immigration laws should be struck down. Not one. That said, undocumented immigrants should be afforded amnesty. As a result of that, this is a liberal mindset of immigration. Undocumented immigrants. You know what an undocumented immigrant is, right? Do I need to explain that? They entered the country around or under the laws of our country. They're afforded amnesty. As a result of this amnesty, they are entitled to, are you ready? This is what a liberal believes. Education, healthcare, welfare, and most of the rights of any citizen of the United States. That's a liberal perspective of an undocumented immigrant. Instead of focusing on secure borders, we should focus, this is a liberal perspective, on creating security for the immigrants that are already here. You with me? That makes sense to you? I'm going to read that again. Liberals believe in and support legal immigration. That said, undocumented immigrants should be afforded amnesty, meaning education, healthcare, welfare, and most of the rights of any other citizen. Instead of focusing on securing our borders, we should focus on creating security for immigrants that are already here. So the mindset of a liberal is, this foreigner has come to our country. They're probably here because where they came from sucks. Being as plain as I can be. They realize that this country probably has the best chance of any other chance. There is no country on the planet that has the level of immigration that this country has. Multiplied multiple times more than any country on the planet. This country has more immigration happening, both legal and illegal. We don't actually know how much illegal is taking place, obviously, but just the level of legal immigration is higher than any other country. And it could even be higher if we were touching more countries like in the Middle East and in Africa. But they're going where it's easiest to get to. So they see the greatest opportunity at this. And that's why they come. And liberals are like, wow, that's why they're here. Instead of kicking them out, instead of telling them, do it right or be gone, they are here for this. We are Americans. Let's do everything in our power to provide this to them. But they also want them to walk through the process of becoming legal. I want you to know that. Democrats don't just want you to show up and then you're suddenly a citizen. No, Democrats do want you to go through the process. They just don't want you to leave to go through the process. If you want to boil this down as simply as possible, the biggest difference is they're not kicking out illegal immigrants to start the process over again. Or they're not going to penalize them because they came illegally. They're just going to make them go through the whole process while they're here. Okay? The conservative view of immigration. They believe in and support only legal immigration. Amnesty applies only to those who are fleeing legitimate national situations such as war. I want you to know this. Some conservatives actually do believe in amnesty. Sorry, conservatives believe in amnesty for certain situations. You will talk to many Republicans who are like, you are fleeing war-torn blank. Get in here. We'll figure it out. But if you're just leaving here because you want to make more money, then you're going to go through the process. Okay? Illegal immigrants should not have the same rights as American citizens. Secure borders and enforcing immigration laws are a priority over providing for illegal immigrants already here. Let me say this all again. The conservative perspective of immigration, they believe in and support only legal immigration. Amnesty only applies to those who are fleeing legitimate national circumstances such as war. Illegal immigrants should not have the same rights as American citizens. Secure borders and enforcing immigration laws are a priority over the existing illegal immigrants that are here. Thoughts, questions? I'm going to keep going because it's 8:14. You had the chance. Taxes. Here we go. This is a favorite. Both parties believe in taxes. I want to get that out of the way now. You cannot have a government without a tax. Okay? Way back before there was a United States of America, before there was a Declaration of Independence, there was a huge grievance of the whole reason why people wanted to come and start a country like this over again. What were the three words? Taxation without representation. Okay? There is no one in any side of that political spectrum that believes we should not pay any taxes. You should not be an American if you think we should not be paying taxes, because you need, honestly, if you want to have a nation that's organized well, at some point in time, funds are going to have to go to someone else who's doing what you're not. And if you're not going to pay taxes, then call it, if you want someone to cook you food at a restaurant, call that a tax. Because it's a tax to eat their food. It's a tax to use the roads. It's a tax to, you name it. The point is, both parties and anyone on this spectrum believe that there are a certain amount of taxes required for the government and the nation to effectively operate. Everybody in agreement? Okay. Liberals believe higher taxes. Right off the bat, I'll tell you this right now. If a liberal had its way, if he was a liberal president and a liberal Congress, we would have higher taxes next week. Because they believe that what provides this? And the only way you can get a bigger government is to pay for it. And you got to fund something to get bigger in order for it to take care of these things better. And a liberal believes that a government is what's necessary to take care of the people. And I'm going to tell you, the heart of God is in there. Take care of the people. Guys, that's not a bad thing. That should be on every one of our hearts. If there are parents in this room, you are thinking about taking care of your children right now. So just know this. The vision of taking care of the people is universal across this spectrum. So a huge thing that I think we could stop right now is vilifying the other side, because we both want the same thing. We want a prosperous people. We want a taken care of people. We want a peaceful, secure people, right? Okay, liberals think that the government is the best way to achieve that. And so we need higher taxes. Where's the best place to take higher taxes from? Wealthy people. And most wealthy people are involved in business. So the two places where you're going to see liberals going after higher taxes are where there's more money. That's kind of like a duh thing. Like, you should know, if taxes are what are required, and there's a mindset that the taxes are required for a bigger government, and a bigger government is the mindset to take care of the people, then it's going to be like a duh thing that they're going to come after the people with more money. It's the most natural thing financially. Do you go to someone that is poor when you need money? No, you go to someone who has it. And that's exactly what the liberals are doing. The liberals want to provide for the people. Liberals believe government is the way to provide for the people, and we're going to go where the money is. And so higher taxes, primarily taken from wealthy people and big business, are required to pay for a larger government. Because government is what's responsible for the American vision. Higher taxes enable government to create jobs, provide health care, fund welfare programs, and generally care for the poor and needy. And I'm going to tell you right now, if our government suddenly went red, which is this side, from the top, meaning the president, vice president, Congress, even down into the state level, there would be so many people suddenly without what they're relying upon, because so many people are living, being taken care of by the government. I want to read this again. Higher taxes, primarily from the wealthy and big business, are required to pay for a larger government that's responsible for the American vision. Higher taxes enable government to create jobs, provide health care, fund welfare, and generally care for the poor and needy. The conservative perspective of taxes is lower taxes mean more money in the hands of the people, both in the hands of individuals and the businesses they operate. These are the ones who need the funds to create this. Don't forget, back to the beginning, a conservative perspective is the people are responsible for creating this. Each one of you, even the government, from a conservative perspective, looks at you and says, you're responsible for this. We're just going to make sure you're free to do it. And you're secure enough that, you know, nations won't beat up on you so you can do it. Lower taxes create more incentive to work, to save, to invest, and to grow a free market economy, because you know that if the government's not just waiting there to get their piece, you're going to be more incentivized to make more money. But a liberal perspective is, and that's the mindset of a lot of people who are wealthy, the concern is the more money I make, the more they're going to take. But in a more conservative mindset, the more money I make, they're still going to take like kind of like the same percentage or share. But in a liberal mindset, as you make more money, the percentage of what is taken keeps going up. Okay. And can I tell you, even in a conservative mindset, that's the way it works. I want you to know that a Republican, the only time I ever heard it was Steve Forbes and a flat tax. You guys remember that? That was back in the 90s, I think. Forgive me if I'm wrong on the dates. That's the only guy I remember running on the platform of flat tax. Like, I forget what the number was. I don't know if it was 10% or something like that. But everybody, doesn't matter what, flat tax. And he actually showed financially how that would actually cover all government spending at the current levels it was at. It was pretty incredible. Okay, so lower taxes mean more money in the hands of the individuals and businesses they run. These are the ones who need the funds to create the opportunity for this vision to take place. Lower taxes create more incentive to work, to save, to invest, and grow a free market economy. It is the responsibility of the people to care for the poor and needy. Big difference. From a liberal perspective, people are not taking care of one another, so we have to do it. The government meaning. Conservatives say, it's our job. If we see somebody hurting, we step in. That's back to the whole healthcare thing. If someone is not able to do something, we step in. We take care of that. Thoughts, questions on taxes? Did I miss anything? Matt, again, I'm kind of generally going through these. All right, you guys ready? Abortion. This is a really hot button one now. Just as much as the ACA, which is the Affordable Care Act, the health care that Obama and his Congress passed, abortion is also in a lot of people's minds. Roe v. Wade, anybody know Roe v. Wade? Okay, all of that where it makes abortion actually legal. It doesn't completely do that. If you actually know the decision of Roe v. Wade, it actually puts the responsibility where? On the states. Roe v. Wade does not declare across our country that abortion is legal. What Roe v. Wade says is that the states make that decision. This is really, go ahead.
That's why over the last, I think, year and a half, you've seen a lot of states enact laws that have limited the access to abortion, because states' rights is highlighted within that legislation.
Yeah, and that's something else that I don't talk a lot about in this particular talk tonight, but it's important that we realize that our founding fathers and those who wrote the Constitution, who set up the Bill of Rights, actually saw the majority of your everyday life not overseen by a federal government, but by the state at the state level. That's why we're called the United States. It's really important. Their minds were, they did not want to become emperors of an empire. They really wanted to facilitate a group of states who then governed themselves. All right, so abortion, a liberal perspective. This is, I'm probably telling you all things you know, but I think it's important that you hear this. A vote for Democrat, a vote for liberal, whether it's at the national level or at the state level, for the most part, now there are outliers in these, okay? Not every Democrat believes what I'm about to say, and not every conservative Republican believes this, but for the most part, they do. The liberal perspective of abortion is that it is the woman's right to choose what she does with her own body. A fetus is not yet a human life, but rather a part of her body. Since government is responsible for the citizen's health care, taxpayer-funded abortions are included as medical care. The government exists to protect the right of a woman and what she decides to do with her own body. I'm going to read it again. The liberal perspective on abortion is that it is the woman's right to choose what she does with her own body. A fetus is not yet a human life, but rather a part of her body. Since government is responsible for the citizen's health care, taxpayer-funded abortions are included as medical care. Not all abortions are taxpayer-funded. I want you to know that. There are many abortions happening today that are paid for by the person. The government exists to protect the right of a woman to decide what she does with her own body. So far, so good. Conservative perspective on abortion. A fetus is a human life. And therefore, abortion is murder and should be illegal. A fetus has the same rights as any human being, even separate from the mother. A conservative perspective is when a woman is pregnant, there are now two people, not one. Government should not provide abortions for those who cannot afford one because from a conservative perspective, it is murder. Government exists to protect the rights of the unborn child and the mother. I'm going to read this all again. A fetus is a human life. Therefore, abortion is murder and should be illegal. A fetus has the same rights as any other human being, even separate from the mother. Government should not provide abortions for those who cannot afford one. Government exists to protect the rights of both the unborn child and the mother. And that's a huge one that I hear a lot of liberals accuse conservatives of, that we don't believe in the rights of the mother. That's untrue. We've just added that we believe in the rights of both. Yes, you have a right to make decisions about your own body, but we also believe that that child has certain rights that are unspoken. They cannot defend for themselves. That's what a conservative perspective is. A liberal says, as long as that child's relying upon me to whatever it is, I don't even know if they would say live, if it's a part of my body, it's a part of me, and I get to make the decisions about it. Okay? Thoughts, questions? And I will tell you that if you vote liberal or you vote conservative, that's what your vote is telling the country, that you believe that. Okay? Another one, I threw this in for fun, and I threw it in right after abortion because, it, in my opinion, these two don't correlate. You guys know where I'm going next? Capital punishment. Because it's the exact opposite. Liberals actually believe the death penalty should be abolished immediately. It is cruel and unusual punishment. Imprisonment is the appropriate penalty for murder. Execution risks the death of an innocent person. That's what a liberal believes. And guys, we have executed innocent people. And people have been on death row for years, finally got a trial again, and were proven innocent. Am I, what was that movie that just came out? Something about mercy, just mercy. Powerful movie. Powerful movie. Has race in it, has capital punishment in it. It's huge. Really good one. So one more time. Capital punishment to the liberal should be abolished immediately. It's cruel and unusual. Imprisonment is the appropriate penalty for murder. Execution risks the death of an innocent person. A conservative mindset of capital punishment is the death penalty is a punishment that fits the crime. When one takes an innocent life, it is appropriate for his or her punishment to be the same. And a lot of conservatives will either even quote the Old Testament, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, donkey for a donkey, you know, that kind of thing. Now, I will just tell you, this is just Mark's opinion. I feel like that's hypocritical on both sides. Either life is life or life isn't life. And just because you chose to do something awful doesn't suddenly make us now, our lives mean nothing anymore. Especially for the party. Okay, so in both cases, let's talk about the liberal for a second. For the liberal party who screams about how important every human being is, how I actually think that in many ways, a liberal mindset is extremely compassionate for humanity. Like extremely compassionate. It rises up and it says, we'll take care of you if you won't take care of it yourself. Now, I will tell you there's enablement in that and there's a lot of other things in that. But at the root of that thing is the heart of God. We will take care of you. And then for it to suddenly say that, you know, a fetus is not a life and it can be destroyed. The most innocent, vulnerable organism on the planet can be easily eliminated. And there's also a lot of liberals that believe in partial birth abortion. I don't even know what that is. It's after, it's 20 weeks or after. It's terrible. I actually read it. I'm going to tell you what partial birth abortion is so you can understand it. 20 weeks or older, which, by the way, all of the parts are there by 20 weeks. And the way that it happens is they go in with forceps and they tear the body apart. The head remains and the rest of the body is pulled out. And then they go in and take the head. And there are many, many liberals who believe that's right. Now, they will say, they're not all, but some will say the only time that they'll think that that's worth it is if the mother's life is at risk. And I have many liberals who have told me that. That's the only time where I think partial abortion is okay. And on the other side, let me just go to the capital punishment thing for a second. Like, I don't understand how a conservative can fight for the rights of a fetus like it's a person, but then suddenly say if someone committed a crime, off with their head. Like for me, it's one or the other. Life is life. And if you're a conservative, especially if you're a Christian, then you've got to believe at any moment in time, a life is rehabilitatively possible. I'm not even using good English here. Is restorative. The possibility of repentance and the possibility of restoration is always available. And I don't think it's in the heart of my father at all to suddenly say, now there's some crimes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think some people need a kick in a certain spot for some of the stuff they've done. But no one, I believe. I'm just going to tell you right now. I was hardly ever going to give my opinion, but I'm giving it today. I want capital punishment gone. That's my perspective. I think it should be gone. I think people need to be put away because they're unsafe for the rest of society. But I do not think taking their life is the right answer. All right, I saw some hands.
I was going to say, so the argument for the current laws for abortion to be kept because of the life of the mother is at risk or the baby is at risk. I did some digging on, there's actually no law. They say that law protects that, but in a medical situation, it's a completely different procedure and it's to either save a life or both of them. So the procedure is completely different doctor and everything. So that whole thing of there needs to be a law for an abortion in place to protect that is actually completely unfounded from the people in the medical field I've talked to and everyone. So I just wanted to throw that out there. From what I've dug into, it actually doesn't protect emergency surgery in that way. Because saving a life is saving a life. Abortion is purposeful taking of life.
Got it. Thank you.
I can expand on that. I forget the exact percentage, but I think it's nearly 99% of the time, if the life of the mother is at risk, they will terminate the pregnancy. And that termination of the pregnancy is done through immediate cesarean section because it would take 48 hours to do a partial birth abortion.
Yeah, a woman doesn't have 48 hours.
Right.
If
the life is at risk, right, of the mother, then the pregnancy is terminated through delivery of the baby. And at that point, there's the argument for the life of the mother related to abortion, you know, is really a super, 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 super rare situation.
Thank you. Was there another hand up over here? Do you want to say it or not?
It was the same thing.
Classified differently than abortion. It's an emergency surgery. Yep, got it. Thank you. All right, I'm going to hit one more because it's 8:33. And I like to hit this one because we in Franklin County, we in gun country. I'm going to hit gun control. All right. The liberal perspective on guns. Second Amendment was only intended for states to keep a militia. That's how a liberal thinks of the Second Amendment. They are originalists in this mindset where they go back and they actually look at what the men and women that were, it was all men, that were making up the original Constitution. And it was intended for states to keep a militia more than it was for private citizens to own firearms. It is the role of government to keep the citizens safe, not the individual. This is a liberal mindset. Additional gun control laws are necessary to stop gun violence and limit criminality based on guns. I'm going to read it one more time. Second Amendment was intended for states to keep a militia more than it was for private citizens to own firearms. It is the role of government to keep the citizens safe, not the individual. Additional gun laws are necessary. This is really important. The liberal mindset, and for all of us NRA guys, I want you to know this. Liberals, their primary role is to not take law-abiding citizens' guns away. Their goal is to make sure that guns don't get into wrong hands. And you ask any liberal person that, unless they're really radicalized way over here. And there are some who want all guns that are privately owned gone, but that's not most of them. Most of them are more over here saying, we just got to make sure that bad people don't get guns. Okay. Nonetheless, that's their mindset overall. Conservative perspective of Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is intended to provide and protect the right of an individual to keep and bear arms. And there is language that supports that idea. So I want you to know that. The liberal mindset was more of the spirit of the law, where the conservative was, no, if you actually read it, it actually says private citizens can own and bear arms. Okay? Government cannot protect its citizens at all times, and therefore the need for gun ownership. Government should enforce all existing gun laws and criminality would diminish. The conservative mindset is, if you just simply enforce all the laws that are currently enacted, criminality would decrease. Conservative mindset is, we do not need more laws. We just need the ones that already exist to be enforced. Thoughts? How many laws are there? Oh, I have no idea.
20 to 30,000 state federal level.
20 to 30,000 state and federal level. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to stay high level here. Okay, are there any other specific issues you'd like to discuss tonight that might be more personal to you that we didn't address today? Like climate change. Anybody really interested in that? So the conservative perspective is what Frank just said. A conservative actually believes that the climate's always been changing. And it goes in cycles. It goes up and then it goes down. It goes up and it goes down. Okay? And so if we would all just kind of ride the roller coaster, the Bible actually promises that seed time and harvest, there will be no end to it, okay? A liberal believes that we are destroying the earth, that we can actually be a lot more responsible, and if we were, back to the fossil fuels, back to oil, gas, and coal, if we'd be more responsible and consider alternative forms of energy, be more responsible for the natural resources that we already have around us, we could not only make the environment healthier, but we would also reduce climate change. Climate change is man's use or man's way of life is actually altering the climate around the globe, if they believe it's a round globe and not a flat earth, which is not a political discussion. It's, are you an idiot or not? Sorry, any flat earthers out there, but come on. Anyway, so a liberal believes that if we would begin to move toward alternative forms of energy, if we would actually take care of our natural resources and not burn a lot of the things that we're burning and do a lot of the things that we're doing, the climate is changing as a result of that, okay? And the mindset is, and here's the thing, there are scientists like Harvard, Yale, whatever the ones over in Europe are, Sorbonne and Oxford and all that, on both sides of the issue. Like really smart people are on both sides saying the exact opposite things. Both have scientists, really smart ones, saying, come at me, bro. And I don't know. We got probably in the room, we probably have both sides of this. My guess is that we're probably doing some things to affect the earth. we're probably doing some things we could be doing better. Seriously, I mean, I think we could be a lot more responsible with this beautiful thing we've been given. On the other hand, hey, come on. Go look at history. I mean, there's a reason why some of the records that are still held on coldest days and hottest days have the number 18 in front of it. They had really hot days and really cold days back then. They had horrible hurricanes and volcanoes erupted and all kinds of terrible stuff happening that we don't have anymore. It's all cyclical. Okay? I think there's both. It's not either or, it's and. So I think we could be better at what we're doing. I think we could probably, like, might not be a bad idea to put some solar panels up on my roof. Might not be a bad idea to, I don't know. Oh, I have a hybrid. I drive a hybrid now. 38.3 miles per gallon current average.
That's economy.
Yeah, that's more economy than it is. I'm helping the earth, let's be honest. That's what I'm saying. Most of every one of these things that we go down has at its root economy, economy, economy. All right, anyone else? Any other issues, thoughts? Yeah.
I was talking, just kind of going all the way back to the beginning, when just talking about like the third party or independent. One of the reasons why I'm pretty independent on these things is because I actually, and you'll find a lot of independents that believe this, is that we don't think that two parties can cover all of America and all of the expansive views. Because I know people who are like socially liberal and fiscally conservative, and I know some people who are fiscally conservative, like just the whole gamut of it. So we believe that it actually would be more equitable for the entire United States if there was more parties that would be able to represent. So that's another reason why we,
we've
had weirdos like me look at, like,
you and I have had this discussion many times, like, okay, like there's this thing where, okay, if you truly believe that this one doesn't fully cover my views, nor does this one, but there's this other party that does, there's a part of you that says, I'm going to vote for that person, but then you know that person might get 2% of the vote. So then you feel like you're just, you know, dropping a turd in your toilet, you know? Just like, no big deal. It's not going to change anything. But then that's the mindset that keeps the current system at work. So that's the conundrum we're in.
Because it's very interesting to me. Because in a free market economy, is actually driven by choice. But then what we say in our politics is like, hey, give me less choice.
Right.
That makes no sense. Like, it doesn't make sense of how our aligns with our economy.
Doesn't competition bring higher quality?
Doesn't competition bring higher quality? So a lot of us independents are like, you guys are missing the point. Like, but it's not a throwaway vote. I refuse to believe that.
This brings up two things to me. The one is how important it is for us, especially younger voters. I still consider myself to be a young voter. to check yourself.
I think you ought to check yourself.
To educate ourselves about how our decisions will impact those who will be impacted by them. Like, I may not be a business owner. I may not be an employer. I may not be, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's easy for me to be like, oh yeah, tax the rich people. That makes sense. But if I would go and speak with a business owner, say, talk to me about how that would impact you, you know, like, and vice versa, because even a social issue that I had a really strong opinion on it. And I had a conversation with somebody, I was like now I'm more educated about how my vote will impact that. It's a lot easier. I just think it's wise. For us who aren't impacted by the decision we're making to go talk to the people it's going to impact.
Right.
You know,
that's why I think it's so important for us to actually know. I don't know if we're coloring in circles. What do we do now? Do we color in circles? Do we hit little holes? What do we do now when we vote? I think we're still coloring in circles, right? Yeah. Like, my hope would be when you do decide to finally color in your circle and either mail it in or vote, that you're actually being that thoughtful. And not just on the one policy or the one issue, but you're actually thinking, if this was the only vote in the nation, like, or if my vote decided it, did you ever think of that? Like, what happens if it's that close where Frank's vote decides the election? I'm willing to bet that if you knew, you were walking up and you suddenly knew and someone whispered in your ear, by the way, whichever way you go is the way the election goes, you'd be a hair more thoughtful. I'm hoping we would be. And my prayer is that as we learn, as we grow in our relationship with God, that we become much more his heart. I believe we should vote. I do not believe in this idea out there, and I've heard it by some Christian leaders, that a vote in this election, there's no good vote, you should abstain. If you ask me, that is the opposite of the kingdom of God. The kingdom is, no, we're going to find God's heart, and we're going to decide where we feel God's heart is most illustrated, most elaborated, most apt to have its way in our nation, and vote that way. Correct. Yeah. And that is a big issue. Please do not vote for personality. I am telling you, my dad told me this a long time ago. You need to know what they believe. Ultimately, at the end of the day, who they are might nauseate you one way or the other. But at the end of the day, it's less about the person and more about what that person actually is given the power to do in the nation you live in. That's where it becomes really important. Now, look, do I believe character is important? Heck yeah. But at the end of the day, it's going to have to be about a bigger issue than, I don't like you. And unfortunately, I believe we're becoming a society that's more and more basing really major important decisions on whether or not we like somebody. Guys, that's not good enough. We're bigger than that. We're smarter than that. We have a greater responsibility than that. And that's why I'm saying your vote, would you take it as seriously as this is the vote that determines the direction of our country? Just decide that. Go ahead.
I have two things. One, to kind of piggyback off of what Diane said. So I'm not embarrassed to say this, but this is my first time ever voting. So I've taken a lot of stock into this decision to do so. And I had this thought as someone who's kind of, you know, a baby in this whole process and understanding and educating myself, you know, like I had this thought that I'm like, what if this like comes down to me and my vote? And I, not to scare myself, but to really take it to heart. And, you know, like there was that thought of like, oh, well, if my vote is the deciding factor, then, you know, what if the wrong, you know, candidate gets, you know, selected? And I don't know if you've guys seen the movie. It's called Finding Neverland. It has Johnny Depp in it. And there's this one part in the movie where he befriends four boys, and their father had passed away. And he befriends the mother, and she becomes sick. And she tries to convince her boys that it's just a cold, it's nothing serious. But the one boy sees past it, and he gets so angry because his mother keeps, you know, trying to convince him that she's okay. And he gets so frustrated, and he said, you know, we were planning for a fishing trip, and then the next day, you know, my dad died and my mom lied to me. And Johnny Depp's character says, no, he didn't lie. She didn't lie to you. That was just her hope. And I had this kind of perspective, and I don't know if it's necessarily a healthy perspective, but I'm hoping it is, that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, who I decide to vote for, I have this hope and I have this faith that what they represent and what they want to do will come to fruition. I have this faith in them that it will. And, you know, it's not a lie if it doesn't. It's not a lie if, or it's not a failure. It's not, it's still a hope. My other thing I wanted to say was actually about the abortion topic. And I have had some conversations with some people in my life who have been through experiences like that, or just even talking about it in general. And you had talked about this probably like 2-3 years ago. And we were actually talking about it in church. And you had said that if somebody asked you a question that, you know, what would you do if someone came up to you and said, I'm going to go get an abortion as a Christian, what would your response be? And you said that you would sit with that woman, and you would talk with her, you would be relational with her, and you would share encouraging ways and the Lord's heart for, you know, what this baby could mean.
Actually, the first thing I said was, I hear her story.
Oh, yeah, okay. And then you said, you know, at the end of the day, if she still decided to go through it, that you would be there for her. Mm-hmm. And I started to think about, you know, I do not support abortion, but bringing the Lord into that situation, if you are conservative, how we can bring the Lord's heart even into that matter of, if you had someone come to you and say that that was going to happen, what would be your response? You know, would it be, you would just cling tightly to your, you know, oh, well, I think that's wrong, and forget the person? How do we incorporate what we stand for relationally with someone who is doing the very thing that, you know, you are against, or you don't believe in? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Lord has just been really speaking to me in every, you know, a lot of things that we've been talking about, but even more specifically with abortion, because, you know, I want the Father's heart, and I want to know how he would operate in those situations. If someone came to me and was like, I'm going to get an abortion, or I believe in this, or I believe in that.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much for that. That's really good. Last thing I want to say, and it's kind of just an interesting thing that's happened here in the last 4 to 5 days on the internet. A trend is currently happening on searches on the internet. Did anybody ever hear about this? Type in your phone, how do I? And guess what the first choice is? Change my vote. All this early voting that's been pushed, being encouraged, and all this stuff. Now that people have voted, I just typed it into my Safari just to see, how do I? And the very first one is, how do I change my vote? It's one of the top trending Google searches right now. And so I don't bring that up to say we shouldn't vote early. I bring that up to say, don't have voter's remorse. Be that thoughtful that when you voted, you're like, hell yeah, I'd do that 100 more times. Okay? You don't want to be them, because you can't change your vote. They're finding out. If you push on it, you'll actually find out you can't. It's in. So don't have voter's remorse, because you can't take this back. All right. Well, hopefully it was helpful. I love y'all. All right. Thank you.